Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, your one-stop shop for all off the Scottish Speedway news, views and interviews. I'm Graham Munsey, stepping in for Derek Smith, who'll be, I think, lying in the pool on a YO with a pina colada in hand, joined by David Harley. David, thanks very much for joining us.
Good evening, Graham. Looking forward to a good show.
Yep, so as always, a very busy show to get through. Tonight, we will hear from Monarch Sam Masters, Eastbourne's Will Pottinger, Berwick's Leon Flint, Eastbourne guest for the weekend, Nick Morris, and Tigers team manager, Michael Max, as we look back on a busy week of Scottish Speedway, which seen the Monarchs, Bandits, and Tigers all in action. We'll also briefly look back on the British Under-19 final held at Redcar last week. And unfortunately, as was the theme of the show last week, we'll talk again about a little bit of weather woes for both the Monarchs away from home and the Tigers at home. So, David, we'll start straight off. If we do this in a chronological order, we'll go back to last Wednesday. The Monarchs were heading down to Somerset for what is a crucial match for the playoff hopes of the Monarchs. They kind of, as it stands just now, it's almost a must-win. If the Monarchs can win that match, they'd be right back in the playoff picture. If not, would be needing results elsewhere. I know a good bunch of Monarchs fans had travelled on the back of being at Sheffield last Sunday, got all the way down there, only to find out an hour beforehand a big storm came in, a big shower, and that was that.
Yeah, it's almost a cup final for us. It was a key match, and maybe with Cameron Heaps not being a 100%, had Michael Pamtoff?
Yeah, Michael Pamtoff, due to guest, yeah.
Was due to guest, so maybe it's a bit of a blessing for us that we'll have, hopefully, our full winter seven when we go back there, but it's a long way to go for no Speedway.
Yeah, I think I was talking to Gordon Campbell, and I think he said it was something like 14 hours or so they'd spent in the car for nothing. So hopefully that won't be repeated. I believe it's a week on Wednesday, is it?
The 28th August. Huge match for Monarchs.
So that was Wednesday. Next up on the calendar, all roads led to Redcar. I had to put my teeth in to say that one. British Under-19 final on Thursday night. Some Tigers and Bandits interest in there. Leon Font was in it alongside Kyle Bickley and Connor Bailey. But the meeting was impressively won by Drew Kemp.
Yeah, Sheffield's Drew Kemp, a 15-point maximum. Fantastic. It's been a good week for him when we were away on the continent last weekend, and a 15-point maximum to take home that British Under-19 title. In fact, and Jason Edwards, who was at Armadale on Friday, he only lost out to Drew to come in second place. So, good win for Drew.
Yeah, definitely. A big week for Kemp. He's maybe struggled a little bit this year in his first full season in the Championship at times. He's been in the main body of the team at Sheffield. But a big confidence boost. I think he was 6th in the European Under-19 final the weekend before. Obviously won that. As you mentioned, you look down at the rest line, Jason Edwards 2nd, Anders Rowe completed the podium. From a Scottish point of view, I think it was a 4th place finish for Kyle Bickley. Kyle had 11 points.
So again, it's only the guys above him that's beaten him effectively.
Exactly. So Connor Bailey finished on 10, as did Leon Flint. So I think it was joint 5th for joint 6th for Connor and Leon. So good performances for all the sort of Scottish Speedway involved riders.
Yeah, especially as we hear from Michael later, how Connor's adapting to British Speedway so quick and to get in the top half of that competition so soon after his debut in this country is a good performance for him.
Yep, and so that took us on to Friday. Obviously, we'll give our congratulations once again to Drew Kemp and everyone involved in the Under-19 final at Redcar. Then on to Friday, two matches were on the calendar. Sheffield due to visit Glasgow. Glasgow decided to take the decision very early in the morning. I think it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning from memory. The match was called off, and by all reports, the correct decision, as rain hit Glasgow for most of the day and there wouldn't have been any Speedway anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that horrible forecast was there all day, and it was threatening Armadale as well all day. And as we saw personally, Graham, it did actually hit Armadale eventually. Fortunately, it wasn't until 9 o'clock, but yeah, good decision from Glasgow to call it off early and prevent anybody having to do that travel the same as the Monarchs did the week before. But some dreadful weather this week. Here's hoping September brings something new.
Exactly, yeah. As you mentioned there, the Monarchs match versus Eastbourne at Armadale, that was the only match that managed to avoid the weather on Friday. And even that was a little bit touch and go. I think it rained roughly till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon at Armadale. Then there was a shower forecast that could have came in any time from 7 o'clock. Luckily, it held off. I think anyone who watched the Hearts of Motherwell match on BT Sport would have seen the rain that hit there. It made its way east and hit us. we did get to Heat 13, though, which means the result stands in a pretty comfortable victory, 51-27 for the Monarchs.
Yeah, it's a good solid victory from Edinburgh. I was never really in doubt. Six of the seven all really performing very well, and Connor Coles trying his heart out as always. But a good solid victory, as you say, with the conditions, it was difficult for track preparation. So it was a little bit tough early on in it. Yep. Maybe it's put a couple of these Eastbourne guys off, and that's maybe helped us, but we did see some cracking racing later on. It was a good night for the Monarchs all round.
Yeah, Heat 12, I think, was a particular highlight, as Nick Morris and Josh Pickering passed and repassed pretty much every corner for about the first two and a half laps before Morris took the lead. Nick Morris, a very capable guest for Edward Kennett, was Eastbourne's only Heat winner of the night. He had two Heat wins. Derek, I know you'll be listening over there in Spain. You like your tail of the tape. So the stats for the night, it was 11 Heat wins to 2 for the Monarchs and 8 Heat advantages to 0. That really does just show the dominance that the Monarchs had.
Yeah, definitely. And if you look at the Monarchs' top four, they've only dropped 2 points. Nick Morris beat Sam in Heat 1 when Sam was probably got caught a bit behind James Sargent, but 3-3's never the worst place to start. And that Heat 12 where Nick beat Josh. Other than that, Ricky and Cameron were easily with maximums and probably would have got full maximums if they had the opportunity.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I think Cameron wasn't he? He was 12 from his four rides. Ricky, as you say, was a three-ride maximum. Josh, from memory, only got beaten the once, I think, by Nick
just
Morris.
Just Heat 12, yeah.
And then the same with Sam with Nick Morris in Heat 1. So we've spoke about it, or it's been spoken about, should I say, sorry, that the top four off the Monarchs have to lead from the front. And at home and on Friday night, that was definitely the case. Not to say there wasn't excellent backup, though. I think it was at 7 points for James Sargent.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent Heat 8 win, especially when Willie Lawson was a wee bit harshly excluded in the first running. He's in I think it was... Botel was leading that at the time. The rerun, Sargent made sure we didn't drop any points. As you say, that 0 Heat advantages to Eastbourne, we're never going to lose when arms.
Yep, and you mentioned William Lawson there. Apart from that exclusion, scored in every race. A real sort of uptick in performances by Willie in the last couple of weeks. I don't think it's a coincidence that since Joe Anderson left the Monarchs and the engine he was using, which is owned by one of the Monarchs directors, was given to Willie, that has led to an increase in scoring. And that's what the Monarchs need. We mentioned the top four are key, but if you don't have that backup at the bottom end, all you're really going to do is pick up a lot of 3-3s in the races where it's not two of the big four together.
Yeah, exactly. And the crucials, Heats 2 and Heat 8, they count as many points as Heats 13 and 15. You know, it's ultimately those wins in Heat 2 make sure we're getting off to a good start are crucial.
Yep, and the man leading the way for the Monarchs, as he has been since being reintroduced to the team, was our number one Sam Masters, although he did drop only his second point since he came
back.
I caught up with Sam after the match.
Yeah, it was impressive to actually turn up here and it not be underwater. Like, I drove up from down south and it was raining the whole way, so I was surprised with that. And it wasn't too bad, really, and obviously the rain ruined it right at the end, but at least we got what we needed to out of it, and happy days.
And obviously, home wins are a must. Any more home points dropped and we're done. Eastbourne looked like a tasty team coming up. Obviously, Nick Morris guest and Richard Lawson does well here. A lot of guys do well. So it was good to put a big victory on.
Yeah, everyone done well in the team. We all dug deep and it was really nice that we had a comfortable win for once. So, everyone done what they needed to do. And except for me, I dropped a point. So, But that's the way it is. And we won. So, that's all we need to do.
Yeah, and I guess sometimes when the conditions are like this, it's just a case, obviously, seven Monarchs coming out fit, 3 points on the board. That's all you can ask for at the night.
Well, that's what it's all about, man. We're here as a team, so we need to leave here with points, and we need to get more points on the road as well. So we're working on it, and we've got to just keep plugging away, and we've got a good enough team to make playoffs, in fact, probably even win the playoffs. So we've just got to get there. I think that's the hardest part.
You mentioned that there, obviously, we were at Sheffield last week, yourself, 18-point max. The backup maybe wasn't quite there. Obviously, I know Armadale is a specialist track. A lot of guys get dialed in and they get the set up. But can you see, is there something you think that's just lacking away from home?
Every time we've been away from home, really, it's kind of something like, if he didn't crash there, we would have won or drew at Leicester, say. And then the other day, we were two races on 5-1s. And I think it just... I don't really say bad luck because I don't really believe in that much, but just things not really going our way, maybe. And it's just, I don't know really what it is, but we need to we need to get some points anyway. Whatever it takes, and we're going to be on for it, that's for sure.
And three matches still to go, so there is still time.
Yeah, that's right, mate. We know we can get points on the road, and we've just all got to dig deep. We've got me, Ricky, Cam, we all know we can do it, and the boys have just got to back us up on the other side and at the back end of the team, and we know what we've got to do. We've just got to get it done.
Sam, they are still pretty confident and adamant that that's a team that can make the playoffs in the Monarchs. But as we spoke about before, there's still a lot of work to do. And I would say a minimum of 7 away points probably required, including at least 3 at Somerset.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, as you say, Sam, quite bullish about the team's chances if we can get to the playoffs. And right now, getting to the playoff is a much bigger challenge. We have to win at Somerset, then pick up points at Newcastle and Berwick. Hopefully that'll happen, and if they perform like they did on Friday night, then yes, we're in with a shout. But that away woes have got to stop now.
Yep. And if we flip it round to the Eastbourne side of the pits, I guess you would really say their only shining light off the night was guest Nick Morris at number one. And you know, Nick's had his trouble off the track when he was younger. I think he's matured now, and what a rider. He's a rider you would pay to watch at Armadale every week.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, he's been looked really good all night. I mean, he slipped off in heat 5, but brilliant in heat 1. And I mean, he also had gave Cameron heaps a good run in the first running of that race. He was beating Cameron. He couldn't quite repeat it at the second time around. As you talked about earlier, that race with Josh was impressive. He was a good, hard, fast rider, and I think he's been good for them all weekend.
Yep, and apart from that, obviously Eastbourne didn't have the troubles to seek. I think Georgie Wood had to pull out after his second race. I think he tweaked something, he hurt his back. Then a nasty crash later on in the meeting for Kyle Newman. We'll hear from Will Pottinger, he'll explain it a little bit better, but basically said that the chain jumped off the sprocket, so the bike stopped dead,
it's an awful
Newman got thrown straight off the front of the bike.
No, definitely. It was an awful-looking crash. He hit the deck really suddenly, caught him off. And Lewis Kerr also struggled all evening. And poor points return for him at Armadale. He's normally better than that. And he was only really in it in one race. And he made a mistake on the second bend. Did well to catch it, but that was him passed. And only picking up was that one and a bonus for Lewis. It was never going to work for Eastbourne with the guys like that scoring those numbers.
Yep, and once again, I caught up with Eastbourne manager Will Pottinger after the match. We'll hear from Will now.
It seems to be a common occurrence whenever I'm up here, so, after being with Lakeside last year. So, just one of those nights. Got to put it to bed. Obviously, got a busy weekend ahead at Berwick tomorrow and Newcastle Sunday. So, hopefully, we'll have to see how Kyle is. He's a bit beaten up, and Georgie as well. So, we'll see what sort of team we put out.
Was it a chain that went, or was it the front of the bike that just collapsed on it?
The chain jumped off the sprocket. It didn't actually snap, so. Obviously stopped him dead, so it's a bit of a shock to the system, but he got whacked by Louis Kerr's foot peg as well in heat 3, so he's a bit battered and bruised, but hopefully he'll be okay.
I guess if you look for positives, obviously young Jason at the bottom end, first time ever here, played 4 and rode steady all night, you've got to be happy with that. Obviously Richard Boston was always in about a good guess, and Nick Morris, so there was positives to take.
Yeah, you know, Jason's first time here, not an easy place to come. It's a bit like teams coming to Eastbourne a bit, really. You know, you've got your home track advantage and your home riders are well dialed into the track, so it's difficult when you only come here once a year. But it's another meeting. Disappointing we couldn't, you know, get something from it, but we've still got 2 matches this weekend to try and grab some points.
Yeah, you mentioned there, a big weekend, obviously. Probably looking at a stage now where you need to win every away match left to take those playoffs after the 2 home defeats. But I guess it's just about getting a bit of pride the rest of the way.
That's it, you know. We were playing catch-up all season from losing those home matches in Leicester and Glasgow. Really unfortunate, you know. There's nothing between us, really, and we're just unfortunate. And unfortunately, when you're not picking up any points away from home as well, you know, you're always going to find it difficult to qualify for the playoffs. You know, over 2 legs, we fancy our chances against most teams in this league, but, you know, it's looking very unlikely that we'll get into that playoffs now. Obviously, we've still got the Shield final against Leicester and semi-final of the Knockout Cup against Redcar, so plenty of big matches to come this season. So, it's not all over.
So, David, a tough night that was the precursor of a tough weekend for the Eagles. Obviously, we heard during the week, well, a couple of weeks ago now, there was the fracas, Eastbourne, Glasgow. It's been talked about on Speedway social media to death. So we'll just add to that. We'll talk about it a lot of it now as well. We heard last week about the bans that had come down. I think it was a 12-day ban for Craig
Cook. For Craig, yeah.
10-day bans for Klaus Wissner and Edward Kennett. Hence, Kennett missed the entire weekend for Eastbourne. Craig Cook then put in an appeal citing new information. So we'll wait to hear that held. Klaus Wissner appealed. That appeal was rejected. And I don't believe Edward Kennett actually appealed at all. I think he just took the punishment on the chin.
He seems to have just taken it on the chin, as you say. And it's probably a shame for Eastbourne because, I mean, it's their Northern Tour, three crucial matches that he's missed for them. Was that the result of their performances and their scores all weekend? Probably not, because Nick's done a decent job. But you still want your talisman, your number one in your team. And, it's a tough one to take. But if you do the crime, as they say, you've got to do the time.
Well, that's it. And it will be interesting to see what comes out of Craig Cook's appeal. We'll talk a little bit about him in the second half of the show when we review Glasgow's weekend. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what this new information is, because yes, there was provocation, but from what I can understand, the ban was based on striking officials, and there's video evidence that shows he did that. So I'm not quite sure what this new information will lead to be, so we'll watch that with interest.
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, retaliation or whatever provocation, whatever's caused the situation, doesn't excuse that behaviour, and it's not what we want to be seeing at Speedway tracks. We do want to see competition, we want to see hard riding there. And, I mean, it's a strange one, as I say. Who knows what will happen in this appeal? I would imagine the ban will still... they'll still be in some way, shape or form. But who knows what will happen with these things? Where they got the 10 days and 12 days from in the first place, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that's what annoys fans sometimes, isn't it? Is that lack of transparency and explanation of the decisions. But as I said, we'll see where that goes. So Eastbourne, as you mentioned, had their Northern Tour weekend, so they made the trip to Berwick on Saturday night, looking to better their result at Armadale. Quite frankly, they didn't.
I don't
think we can really sugarcoat it too much for the Eagles fans, I'm afraid. 58-32 victory for Berwick. And for a team that's... you look at the names in the Eastbourne team, obviously Kennett suspended, but Kennett, Lawson, Kerr, Newman... I don't think they've picked up a point on the road yet, and that's very, very surprising.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. And their loss at Newcastle yesterday probably does confirm that they've went all 10 away matches and picked up nothing, which, given a team that started the season so well and are in the Championship Shield final, it'd be a big disappointment for them to come away with that. I mean, the score on Saturday was clearly the same as what the score was going to be on Friday type thing. And the same number of heat advantages, they 8-0 against them, and they managed to pick up 4 race winners there. But again, if you're 4 race winners, your teammate finishes last, you're not going to win any matches.
Exactly. 0 heat advantages over the 2 matches. Nick Morris, the guest, leading away with 11 points again. A solid team performance by Berwick. You know, you look down the scorecards, 10 for Cody Garcia, 10 for Doohan.
Yeah. And everybody between 7 points and 10 points.
Exactly. And a big performance by young Leon Font. Obviously, had a big crash, I believe, the week before or 2 weeks ago. Back to fitness, and 9+3 for Leon. That's a big boost for the Bandits and for Leon.
Yeah, excellent performance from Leon, and be good for them, as they've still got that outside chance of the playoffs as well, and they need all 7 firing for that.
Yep, and our man at the Bandits, Gary Tate, caught up with Leon after the match. We'll hear from Leon now.
The boys did absolutely amazing tonight. I think I did very well tonight for myself as well. I mean, I've been very low on confidence lately, and you know, after that tonight, it's, you know, got me back where I want to be, and it's got the confidence levels, you know, straight through the roof. But obviously, you know, I'll stay on my 2 feet, and we'll just look on to Wednesday and do the same.
Yeah, I mean, 9-3 tonight, paid 12, can't complain. But to be fair, you were riding more aggressively, you were looking for position on the track. It seemed to be that you are riding with a bit more confidence. Is that the case?
I just knew, you know, I had to get a big result this weekend. You know, if I'm being honest, I haven't enjoyed my racing lately, and I think that was due, you know, just to me finishing school, sat about doing nothing. But I've now got a job, and, you know, it's letting me, you know, kind of be speedway stress free for the, you know, like all through the week, and then when it's race day, I can switch on. but it's obviously showed an effect after, you know, my score tonight, and yeah, just hopefully I can, you know, maintain these big scores and, yeah, just see it through to the end of the year.
Absolutely, and I know it was unfortunate circumstances with the crash in Heat 15, but yourself and Cote took the place of Jai and Nikolai, and you came up with a big 5-1 as well.
Yeah, I think we, you know, if you look at other teams in the league, what the reserves are doing, you know, they're not particularly doing much. But, I mean, I'm not saying that I've been particularly doing much lately, but, you know, if you have a good pairing on the day, you know, you look how many points me and Cody scored, it's, you know, just goes to show that's what wins your meetings. But even throughout the team, I really don't think we was like that, you know, much difference between our points. And, you know, that just goes to show, you know, how Berwick's team was built, just everyone that can, you know, just keep plugging away. There's no, you know, outstanding rider and one terrible rider. You know, we're all in the team for a reason.
So a delighted Doyon there. Obviously happy with his night's work, and so he should be. You know, coming as a 2-point reserve to start the season. As the seasons went on, the scores have built up, particularly around Shielfield. Okay, I'd say the away points maybe haven't been there yet, but that's to be expected. It's a 16-year-old kid going places for the first time, and a real, real bright future Doyon's got in the sport.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's insane. He scored 10 points in under-19s, as we discussed earlier. Paid 12 at the weekend, and he's looking good. He's looking thoroughly professional. He's done a lot of laps in his time going into Europe and things like that. He's really put in the hard grind. So hopefully for him and Berwick, it does come to fruition, yeah.
Yep, and on the Eastbourne side of the pits, Gary again was the man in the middle of it, getting all the reaction. He spoke to guest Nick Morris.
Yeah, it's always tough when you come to when you go to Edinburgh, and it was all going pretty good here tonight, but ended with a crash. But Eastbourne, the team's having a bit of a tough time, I think. Struggling away from home, and it showed in the last two nights. So. But for me, it's just about getting some meetings in and trying to help the team, and I think I've done that. So, yeah, just trying to end my season as good as I can. It's been a slow season, and just trying to finish strong.
And then in terms of your season, obviously you had the injury at the start of the year that kept you out for a few weeks. How do you feel? Where do you think you're at the minute in terms of your recovery?
Yeah, it's been a slow one, really. The scaphoid, it doesn't heal well, and when I ride, it's not bad. I don't really notice it, but it's just off the bike. You can still, it's still sore and lack of movement in my wrist, and it's just a bad injury, really. It doesn't heal, and it's just a pain. I didn't even know I'd done anything until 4 days after the crash. I went and got an X-ray because it was aching, and ended up being worse than breaking your arm or something like that. So can take up to a year to heal properly, and I've got to go get another checkup on it. But yeah, it's not really affecting me on the bike now. It's just a bit annoying. So we're just trying to finish good. It's been one of them seasons that hasn't been great, so we're just trying to finish it as well as we can.
Yeah. And in terms of Heat 15, obviously it was a big smash. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It just got a bit tight coming off the corner here, as it does sometimes, and that speedway, it can happen pretty quickly. And hopefully Nikolai's all good, and dry as well, and yeah, just good to be in one piece, and we're under Newcastle tomorrow.
So David, a good win for Berwick. Berwick have got a lot of matches to fit in. Obviously we'll talk in the second half, we'll preview the week ahead. Berwick got another two home matches, and I think it's something like seven home matches, or before the Eastbourne match I think it was seven home matches they still had to run. So still six home matches. They're unbeaten at home from memory.
Yep.
They've picked up that point away from home, so again they're probably two away wins away from being in those playoffs.
He actually forgot Redcar won at Berwick.
Of course,
so that
sorry,
was the,
2 weeks,
that's
right,
probably
yeah.
What's hampered their playoff chances, yeah. Says really. But as you say, looking really solid there. A lot of meetings to go, and they're sitting bottom of the table right now, I believe. Or maybe got off it last night, Saturday night, sorry.
I think so. It's, again, as we've spoken about many times on tapes,
yeah.
Up, the table does kind of lie in Speedway a little bit just because of the difference in matches raised. So if you look at the plus-minus table, which is normally the key indicator, that would put them on -2, which is exactly the same as the Monarchs. I think Sheffield are about there as well. So the teams that are chasing, as it stands just now, you would probably say if Somerset win the remaining of their matches, they would be the fourth team in the playoffs. I think Leicester and Glasgow are there. You know, it might not be mathematical certain yet, but it's as good as. For me, Redcar are there as well. So it's probably just that last place. And some big matches to come. Sheffield go to Somerset this week. The Monarchs still have to go to Somerset. Somerset have been beaten at home, albeit just by Leicester and Glasgow, so it's not impossible for a team like Berwick or the Monarchs or the Sheffield Tigers, one of those chasing pack, to make that late surge.
No, definitely, and I think Newcastle were doing well at Somerset as well. As you say, I think that's the crucial one. I'm not sure I see anybody catching Redcar. And it's the thing with the Somerset, it's teams that are trying to catch them that they've got to face. Sheffield and Edinburgh both know they need to win at Somerset if they're going to have any chance. So that might make an advantage, whereas... and Berwick have got to go to Birmingham, Edinburgh and Glasgow, so I mean maybe at Birmingham they'll pick up some points, but they'll need more than one away win to make it through the playoffs.
Yep, so it's still all to race for, and that's kind of our weekend for the Edinburgh Monarchs and Berwick Bandits look back on. In the second half of the show we'll look back at a busy weekend for Glasgow with two away trips. Stay tuned to Rocksport Radio.
Love music, live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
You're listening to Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio. Thanks once again for joining us and your weekly look at all things Scottish Speedway. If you enjoy the show, obviously please tell your friends, comment on any social media posts, either from Rock Sport Radio on Twitter or at Rock Sport Radio or on Facebook or on the individual clubs' social media as well. Berwick Bandits, Edinburgh Monarchs, Glasgow Tigers, all on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, you name it. There's probably some other social medias I've never heard of now that I'm getting on a bit. Obviously, the show can be listened to again on podcast, normally available around about Tuesday afternoon, and all previous episodes are available as podcasts as well, either from the Rocksport website or from all your usual podcast places, iTunes, Spotify, you name it, any of your podcast apps. So, David, back in the first half of the show, we looked at Berwick and Edinburgh's weekend. We'll now move on to Glasgow's weekend. Obviously, it was meant to be three matches in 3 days. As we've touched on, the Friday home match against Sheffield was correctly called off early on Friday morning. But the two away matches did survive. First off, on Saturday, a trip to table top in Leicester.
Yeah, clash of the top two
are going for it.
Best teams, no matter how we like saying it as Edinburgh fans. Yeah. It's the two best teams in the league at the moment.
And a narrow defeat for Glasgow, just getting pipped 46-44, and a crucial, it could have been even better, a crucial fall, I think, for newcomer Sam Jensen, while winning Heat 14 was the difference. But they become only the second team after the Monarchs, they're always following us in some way or other, to take a point at Leicester this season, and that's a result that really will give them a boost, knowing that Leicester are a potential playoff opposition.
Yeah, definitely. It's a massive confidence boost knowing they run them close, and ultimately a playoff final will come down to the two-leg aggregate score.
Yeah,
it's not about points or whatever. So I mean, that's another point in the bag for them on the road, and really close meeting. And as you said, with that Heat 14, could have been a little bit different.
Yep, could have been. I mean, I guess we normally say that the tail of the tape, the stats don't lie, but in this case they maybe actually do, as Glasgow had 9 Heat winners, obviously to Leicester's 6, but the flip side of that was too many last places in some of those Heat wins were 3-3s, so you don't get the advantages, 5 advantages each, and Leicester just being able to make it count when it mattered.
Yeah, that's as you say, I mean, there's 5 Heat advantages to each team, and it's really tight all the way through. And sometimes it is that last place is the most important place. You know, you can go and win as many races as you want, but if your teammate's last, you're not going to be winning meetings. I mean, it's a tight one all the way through. I mean, Cookie's won 4 races and last in one, and Rasmus Jensen again looking really good and on fire again. 12+1 for him.
Yeah, I think for me, I'd actually have to put Jensen down as signing of the season by any team. You know, I hadn't seen a huge amount of him before last year with Workington, and he was kind of a solid member of a very good Workington team last year.
But he hit the form right at the right time last year.
Yep, right at the end.
I remember going to Workington and for the, was it the Knockout Cup
match,
he was phenomenal that night. So yeah, great signing for Glasgow.
Yep, and he's really kicked on. You know, we've seen, I think, was it, didn't he get a maximum away for home the other week, or he top scored, or what? We won Heat 15 at Scunthorpe. I think he did the same at Somerset in the 2 victories there, and really backing up Cook. We all know what Cook is capable of, but to have that backup, you know, he's almost as good as a number 1A. You know, if you're Cook's a number
definitely.
1, he's almost like number 1A, and it does take the pressure off and allows the rest of the guys just to pick up the points. They're comfortable, they don't need to go out and chase things, unless it comes to them. And another excellent result for Glasgow. puts them on plus 18 on the plus minus points, which I think is actually about 7 points clear even of Leicester, or 6 points clear of Leicester. And as we touched on in the first half, Glasgow are in the playoffs.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And yeah, I mean, as you say, Jensen's performance, it allows the new guys in the team to bed in as well. I mean, as again, I mean, looking across the other side to Leicester, if they're going to run guests for Richie Worrall all season, sometimes it's not going to work, sometimes it is. I mean, Rory Schlein's been guesting for them on Saturday, and 7+1 is not a bad score, but you think Richie would have scored higher than that. And Ty Proctor only scoring their big sign-in that's going to help them to the title, only scoring 1+1. Again, well, reserve scoring nothing, it's difficult to really press on. But Leicester did have enough in the end, and said that Heat 14 didn't mean it won. And despite Glasgow getting the 5-1 in the last race, it was 46-4 to the Lions.
Yep, and you mentioned that there for Leicester, they were led by Scott Nicholls, the ageless Scott Nicholls, almost 1+1. And I guess if there's any Leicester fans listening, they might argue their signing of the season, Ryan Douglas, coming back from a year out, another solid performance by Ryan, 10 points, and he's been a big boost to him this year. He's really kicked on.
Yeah, definitely, and as you say, it's a team sport. Connor Mountain as well, 9+2 from reserve, is really kicking in, and that's making sure that they just managed to edge that meeting. It'll be interesting to see what happens later in the season.
Yep, so that was a point on Saturday night at Leicester for the Tigers, which I think kept the run-up of scoring away points in every away match. Could they continue on the Sunday when they travelled to Yorkshire to take on Sheffield? But once again, I can answer that question quite quickly. In this instance, it was a no. The first pointless match of the season for the Tigers, going down 53-37. We spoke to Michael Max on his way home from the match. We hear from him in a little bit. It doesn't sound too happy, but it sounds like Sheffield had put a track together that the home riders were ready for, that maybe caught out Glasgow a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been saying that recently going down there. We saw that last week where Ricky Wells has been a number one there, really struggling on that track last week. But I mean, as we know, you can't be at 100% your best all season. So we've already said Glasgow are in the playoffs, so dropping a point and not having such a great performance is probably not the end of the world for them. Still picking up points throughout the team, and I don't know if Kyle Bickley scoring nothing is maybe a bit harsh on them, but tough day for Glasgow.
It's a tough day, but as you mentioned, the points are in the bag. 7 riders come out of it fully fit at a place that's very unlikely they're going to have to go back to this year, unless Sheffield put a run on and sneak into the playoffs. And even then, I would suggest that Glasgow might not pick them if they had the choice just after a result like that. You know, they would look at better results gained at the likes of Somerset, Leicester, whoever else might be in there. You know, again, we look at our stats. 5 Heat wins for Glasgow, 10 for Sheffield. Out of those 10 Heat wins, though, Sheffield were able to turn that into 7 Heat advantages. Glasgow were only able to turn their 5 Heat wins into 2 Heat advantages, and that's where the big difference was. Some individual scorers, Craig Cook led the way with 13. For Sheffield, the introduction of Todd Kurtz and Justin Sedgman recently seems to be really working.
For them, yeah.
I think they were both into double figures against the Monarchs last Sunday. Same again, 12 points each, I think, were the top two scorers for the Sheffield Tigers. And that's really given them a boost around their home track.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's their Sedgman-Kurtz combination. They had 2 5-1s in their first 2 races today. And Kyle Howarth popping up with some good points. It means even though Danny King's not had his best day, but they've still had a big win against, as we said already, one of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, and I think that was probably quite important for Kyle Howarth to bounce back. We seen in person last Sunday, we were both at Sheffield for the Monarchs match, and Kyle struggled a little bit with the conditions. Maybe that week he was ready for the conditions a bit more this week on Sunday there this year, and managed to pick up. I know he won his first 3 races. I forget off the top of my head what he finished on. So a big win for Sheffield, and Sheffield are probably in the same boat as the likes of the Monarchs, off the Bandits, where they need away points to get in those playoffs, but any home defeat and that would be it. Game over, playoffs done for the year, and they managed to avoid that for another week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've got 4 really tough away matches to come with Somerset, Eastbourne. They've got to come to Edinburgh and Glasgow again after having 2 rain-offs up here. It's going to be really tough for them to make the playoffs, but starting on Wednesday night at Somerset, that's when we need to kick on.
Yep, and you know, from a Glasgow point of view, obviously this weekend saw the debut of young Sam Jensen, I believe a Danish rider that rides with Rasmus Jensen, so not related, but Jensen by name, Jensen by nature, I guess. Started off quite well. 3 points at Leicester, could have been more but for that fault, and 3+1 at Sheffield, and by all reports, another could be another find by the Tigers.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a bad start, and especially in the conditions and adjusting British Speedway can be hard for some riders. But it's a decent start for Sam, and Glasgow fans will be hoping that he kicks on and picks up the rest of the team.
Yep. And then at the bottom end, as you mentioned, Kyle Bickley had probably his weakest match of the season at Sheffield, but Conor Bailey, another one that looks to be a real star in the making, 4 points and 5 points, I think, were his two scores over the weekend. For a 16-year-old kid, so far away from home, I know he has his parents with him.
Yeah, so going to Sheffield helps. For the first time.
Yeah. He looks to be another find. So, you know, you say this through gritted teeth sometimes as a Monarchs fan, but you've got to applaud the way the Tigers management have put that team together this year. A member of that management and team manager at Sheffield on Sunday was Michael Max. Myself and David caught up with him over the phone on the way home from that match. We'll hear from Michael now.
There's still a very big desire to finish top of the pile if we at all can, and that'll be the aim for the four remaining home fixtures that we've got and the two outstanding away matches. And we can get enough points to make sure that we achieve top spot if we can.
And you were so close to turning that around last night at Leicester. How close do you actually think you were in the end?
Oh, very close. I mean, it looked early on as though we'd got the hold on them. We were 6 points up. We had a mid-beating wobble and then came back. And it was really Sam Jensen who's finding his feet in his first couple of matches. And out of nowhere, he was leading Heat 14. He was going to win it, and he fell in the last bend. And that obviously turned out to a 46-44 defeat rather than a 46-44 victory, as it turned out. But you know, Sam's already looks a very decent prospect, and delighted that he's come in and done a job. And you know, we don't say it's a learning experience for him, and he'll certainly play a big part in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as well, looking at the Leicester result first, probably the disappointment would be not be able to take that one. I mean, I'm looking at the stats here: 9 Heat wins away from home, and you can only come away with a 2-point defeat. But I guess the flip side of that now is looking at the teams that are potentially going to be in the playoffs. You've won at Somerset, you've ran Leicester close, and I think on aggregate you would have beaten both teams quite handsomely if it was a bonus point scenario. So that must give you confidence for those playoffs, looking at the teams you're likely to be facing as well.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that the teams that have got very decent racing tracks for fairness, I think have all done well. I mean, we've done really well away, but we haven't really blown that many teams away at home. Really, only Birmingham have incurred the wrath of us at home. So it's down to the fact that Glasgow's a very enjoyable racing track, and I think the same with Redcar, who are having a good spell away from home, but don't really have great, huge victories at home. And I think Leicester are in the same boat, and Somerset are in the same boat. So it's an interesting statistic that the teams that have got really good, fair racetracks have been the teams that have not won massively at home, but away from home they've done really, really well, and that's why they're the four favourites for the playoff spots at the moment.
Yeah, it's a great away record you've had so far in the league, picking up points every day until Sheffield today. Was that a tough one today?
It was. They made the conditions to their liking, nice and grippy and a little bit deeper than what our guys have been used to all season. And to be fair, they adapted a whole lot quicker than we did. So no complaints. They were definitely sharper and better than us today. And we just lick our wounds and get back up and on with it with our next run of fixtures.
And you mentioned, obviously, Sam Jensen making his debut at the weekend. 3 points at Leicester last night, 3+1 at Sheffield today. You know, that's solid for a start. We think he might only be in for a short term until Paul Stark's there, but you know, he'll be very keen to put himself in the shop window, if not for the rest of this season, certainly for next year.
Absolutely. I mean, we know that Sam, now that we've got to see him, he's got a lovely, hard riding style. He just needs to sharpen up out the gates. That's something that we knew was definitely something in his makeup that required a little bit of attention. But you know, he looks as if he's got a really good racing, aggressive style. And once he sharpens up in the gating, I think he'll be a really good asset for us for the period that he's in.
And is there any news on how long Paul Stark will be out for? Do you know, Michael?
There's still another few weeks races. I think we'll just reassess it again, perhaps at the end of this month, see how he's looking. But I don't think we'll see him in August at any point. I think he'll be at some point in September.
Then elsewhere in the team, I think probably a special mention over the last few weeks has to go to young Conor Bailey. You're moving country at 16 years old, travelling, 6,000 miles away from home. New to himself and still banging in the points, and a good performance in the British Under 19 Championship last year. Another real prospect that Glasgow have unearthed.
He is. He's a rider that one thing we've really noticed about him is his ability to adapt to whatever track that he rides that he's never seen before. He quickly picks it up. His style is improving. His point scoring is improving little by little. Likewise, his gating is a little inconsistent. He has a couple of really good gates and a couple of poor. But as you say, he's only 17. He's just turned 17 last week, and he's coming on a treat. And we've got very high hopes for him over the course of the next wee while.
Cool. I'm not sure, have you got any more fixtures the rest of this month? Is there any news on any fixture rearrangements or anything?
I think we've got Scunthorpe at home to come a couple of weeks' time on a Sabbath. We'll be trying to fit something in the near future. Obviously, Craig's got the Rugby Challenge next weekend, or this coming weekend, so we'll wait and see how all things develop with regards to fixtures. We've got to try and fit everything in that we can prior to the cut-off, but we'll get that done.
So we're not too despondent, Michael Max there. Maybe ruin a little bit that they weren't able to win that match at Leicester, particularly having the lead. They got sort of shell-shocked early, I think, at Sheffield, came back into the match mid-match and then fell away a lot, but then maybe a little bit of bad luck, Rasmus Jensen getting excluded in Heat 13 when it looks like, just going by the Speedway updates, that him and Craig Cook got in each other's way a little bit. But nothing for the Tigers fans or management to be downhearted about over the weekend.
No, as you see, he was quite not happy with losing today, but resigned that'll happen. Sheffield's a tough place to go, as we say, but you can also tell that he's determined to get that top place in the league. They want to be the team that's that teams are chasing, and get that pick for the semi final.
That's it. I mean, you don't win anything for coming top of the league. Obviously, we have the playoffs and the Speedway GB Championship, but there is still that. One, there's a little bit of pride to come on top, I guess. And two, as you mentioned, that all-important pick. And you're looking at the teams that look like they're going to make it. I would suggest they probably want to avoid Redcar after Redcar knocked them out of the Keogh Cup and ran them pretty close in the league at Ashfield as well.
Yeah, and as we saw, the Somerset, probably the other main candidate, they won there.
Yep.
If Edinburgh do sneak in, they won there.
Twice.
And they've run Leicester quite close, so they could even conceivably pick Leicester in the semi-final, but that'll be their choice if they can get that top place.
Yep, and of course, unfortunately, as is the case in Speed, we all know anything can happen. Injuries could hit one of the teams, riders can be missing. Okay, we've touched on it briefly, there could still be a Cook ban situation at some point to contend with, so it'll be interesting to see what happens the rest of the way. But another solid weekend for Glasgow. They can tick another couple of fixtures off the list, another away point added, and I guess for them, as Michael Max alluded to, it's just about keeping it going, not getting too comfortable, not allowing any complacency to creep in, and make sure, particularly at home, that they turn Ashfield into a fortress.
Yeah, I mean, as we say, they've had a lot of good performances this year. They don't want to take their foot off the gas. I think I'm not sure they've got actually a meeting plan for the next 12, 13 days with Cookie being
on the
GP Challenge this weekend. So I wish Craig Cook luck in that one. But it's all there to play for.
Yep, so that's kind of, as I look back over the weekend's action, the review part, as it were, is complete. In summary, big wins at home for Edinburgh and Berwick over Eastbourne, and then a point for Glasgow away to Leicester, and nothing for Sheffield on the back of a 53-37 defeat there. As always with Speedway, and in the middle of summer as we should be, a lot more action to come this week, David. You've mentioned it's a week off for Glasgow. I think they purposefully had that in the fixture list, knowing that Craig Cook would be missing.
Maybe if they'd planned the ban, that would have been perfect for them.
Is it Gorishan in Croatia, I believe, the GP Challenge is?
Yeah.
So all the best to Cookie there, as you mentioned. And it's a competition he's done well in before. Obviously, that's how he qualified for the Grand Prix two seasons ago, and he was unlucky to finish fourth when the top three get a place, or fifth, was it? Fourth or fifth last year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it was a wee bit harsh for him not even to be considered on the reserve list for the GPs this year, which would have given him more meetings, as we know, because the number of riders that missed.
He probably would have been in every round so far when you look at how many rounds Lambert and Frick have done. And yes, I can kind of see why the FIM changed their mind and picked riders to be the reserves, whereas every other year before, I think Cookie would have been the number one reserve based on that fourth place finish. So you can be a little bit aggrieved that, you're right, that would have been, are we, six Grand Prix in now, seven Grand Prix in, and another chance to test them.
So the way to prove that wrong is to go out there on Saturday and then went through.
In a tough field, so all the best to Cookie, see what he can do there. Back in domestic action, an unusual midweek match for Berwick comes up on Wednesday night, the 21st this Wednesday, when Scunthorpe come to town. Berwick will be looking to carry on that form they held from the win at Eastbourne, over Eastbourne on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean that's Berwick's home form is what they're well renowned for. They're backloaded their fixtures because of rain offs and other things. So they've now got a race on an off night on a Wednesday night. So Scunthorpe coming there. A couple of exciting riders with Otte and Barker that are not afraid of putting their back wheel in the dirt and going for it. But I would think Berwick will have too much for them.
Hold your prediction. We'll get the predictions off you at the end, David. And then on Friday night, it's Birmingham's turn to do a little bit of a northern tour as they head to Armadale. Birmingham not had their troubles to seek this year. I did well to remember it was Birmingham we're riding this time. I forgot that on Friday night. But a team that can't be underestimated at Armadale as well. When you've got the likes of Adam Ellis who rides it well. We'll see if Jason Garrity shows up. He hasn't quite made it the last, three times he was due to be there. Maybe somebody needs to sponsor him a new van this week.
Get his membership up today.
Jane Shane's performing well. I think it's Thierry Arnault in the Birmingham team as well.
Paco Castagna, and they've got Nick Agartoft as well, I'm not sure he's been to Armadale before, but
yep, so interesting to see. But again, key for the Monarchs, they keep winning at home, and I think with that top four we've got in place and Willie riding well, Connor, just needs to maybe steady himself a little bit. But overall, I would expect the Monarchs to have too much for the Brummies on Friday night.
I think so, yeah. I mean, there's Adam Ellis, he's had a couple of good matches. I think he's had a couple of good Scottish Opens.
Quite good was it Lakeside he rode for a while? When he came up, I'm sure he got double figures.
Yeah, so it will be another one to challenge to get our top four. It's going to be a tough night for Birmingham on Friday, and hopefully we'll get a lovely, beautiful night for it and some good racing.
And then down at Berwick on Saturday, Birmingham's starting to go there. A track, I know it's guys like Adam Ellis loves the better track, but again, I would expect a two home win week for the Bandits.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. It's both Edinburgh and Berwick are still chasing that playoff, that outside chance. Birmingham, they're probably one of the few teams that really aren't really in with a shout, it's too much for them. So I would think the teams that's got something to race for, I'll do the business this week.
Yeah, right, money where your mouth is, time, David. Berwick versus Scunthorpe on Wednesday night. What's your prediction?
I think Berwick will have another big win. I'll go 54-36.
54-36, very close to mine, 56-34. I was thinking for that, so we're very much in the same minds there. On Armadale on Friday night, the Monarchs versus the Brummies.
I think we'll do the same, but I'll maybe go 55-35 tomorrow.
55-35, I'm 54-36, so again we're very close. And then finally, Berwick versus Birmingham on Saturday night.
I'll go again, 54-36.
52-38, my prediction for that one. So I think we're all kind of in the same line. Three big home wins with no points for the way teams expected. Berwick versus Scunthorpe, Edinburgh, Birmingham. And then Berwick versus Birmingham. David, can you believe it? Our time is up. Our hour is flown in. Thanks once again to everyone for listening. As we have mentioned before, please do comment on social media if you've enjoyed the show, whether that's through Rocksport Radio social media, at Rocksport Radio on Twitter, or Rocksport Radio on Facebook, or any of the club social media. You'll see posts on there promoting the show as well. Thanks very much to everyone who joined us, to Michael Max, to Sam Masters, to Will Pottinger, to Nick Morris, and Leon Flint. And thanks to Gary Tate down at Berwick for getting us the audio from there. And all that's left to say is, David, thank you for joining me in the studio. Hope you've enjoyed it once again.
Thanks again, Graham. Yeah, always a pleasure. Let's bring on some good speedway this week.
Exactly. Thanks again for listening, folks. Have a good week.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.